Welcome to the Synthetic Media Podcast. I'm your host, Henrik de Cure. Join me for interviews and thoughts on the ever-expanding topic of synthetic media. You can find my book on synthetic media on Amazon. Subscribe to this podcast for free. Follow us on syntheticmediapodcast.com and enjoy today's episode.
My name is Timo Kadum from Berlin, Germany. I'm the co-founder of Om Studios, a media production company for 10 years. I've been the interim vice president of technology for the PwC Experience Centers, also here in Berlin, and now a new company called Magic Design and Technology. So my background is mainly media and entertainment, certainly in the past. What I've been doing was focus on live events, so these world premieres of car manufacturers, for example, like massive venues, you know, with lots of moving content, but also feature films and stuff like that. So my company also developed the first professional film drone in the world, the Omcopter. We were even considered for technical achievement and award back in the day. Didn't work out. And through that, I worked on, you know, big Hollywood productions, Fast and Furious, Sense8 with the Wachowskis, Monuments Men, and whatnot. And then eventually we ventured more into 360 video, which then led to, you know, interactive virtual production stuff that we were doing in the past. And now with the new company, Magic, with the G at the end, it's really focused on next level experiences with software development and artificial intelligence.
Timur, how were you involved with synthetic media?
To clarify that term, synthetic media, depending on your background, it might mean something slightly different. So what I'm aware of, that there's currently two groups of people using the term, both to describe something fairly different. First, it's the data scientist. And there's like the new a new trend that you generate data sets on your own, mostly in game engines, but could be any 3D content creation tool to basically train artificial intelligence or machine visions to see and understand the world. You know, that has many benefits, obviously, because you can see the object from all sides in all lighting conditions. And of course, if all the objects are already tagged and segmented, which usually is a very labor intensive task. But obviously, I'm coming more from the creative side of things, and the creatives and the media production companies that use the term use it basically to address issues that were otherwise basically impossible to achieve. And it's mostly interesting right now on the arty side of things, not so much on the commercial yet, because, you know, the quality isn't there yet. But for me, obviously, the promise that it holds is that it's sort of like a paradigm shift in that we can finally have the computer create the final pixel. You know, we don't need an extensive post-production phase. So it's even for me really a mind shift. And it's funny that I observe myself struggling to grasp the implications when you know, in the past we needed to create that perfect 3D model, you know, like to get a photoreal output. But now it's more using this 3D data to sort of like tell the AI what you want as an output, basically nudging it or directing it using 3D data. And it's really interesting. The implications are basically, you know, every day I have a new eureka moment in you know, it's really a very different way of approaching things. And for example, we just created a scene, a virtual production scene, you know, like it's basically a film scene in a virtual environment. You know, we have an actress with a motion capture suit, and we basically, you know, transfer her motion to an avatar. But obviously this avatar doesn't look photoreal, especially on the face. So what we did is basically we deep faked the face of a real person onto the 3D avatar. And obviously that cuts a lot of the tuning away, and it just gives you an instant perfect result. And it's really a different way of approaching things and overall. And obviously, like, the same is true for voices. You know, we recently cloned the voice of one of my employees, then used this to drive the output of GPT-3, a large language model artificial intelligence. So it's really exciting times.
Timur, What are the biggest challenges and successes you've seen with synthetic media?
So, I mean, we're really just getting started. And like I said in the beginning, we're just on the cusp of this technology being considered for commercial applications, right? I've just read yesterday that some bigger Hollywood stars are now licensing their face to be used in deepfakes. I'm not sure who it was, but it doesn't really matter. But it's a sign of things to come, basically. So we're really just on the verge of that. And I think the big success stories right now are companies like, for example, Synthesia.io, that already have created like a monetizable business with, let's call it deepfake as a service approach, where they sort of democratize the whole, talking head for corporate messages thingy. But it's right now sort of limited to a very niche application. And there's more challenges in that area than we have time to discuss today, as it's still sort of in its infancy. But I can see that in the next 1 or 2 years, these GANs, this generative adversarial networks, it can be used commercially. And this will be extremely exciting, specifically, for example, when OpenAI will release their DALL-E image generating GAN. That looks like the most promising contender when you really have a commercial product that basically, at least that's what they say in the demos, can be used for commercial applications. But obviously in the very niche sector, we have amazing applications already, like this whole portrait generator of faces that do not exist yet, super resolution, font styling, even Snapchat or Instagram creating AI-based face filters, that age you and stuff. That's already sort of like showing where things will go in the future. And there's heaps of examples that one could give. Unfortunately, right now it's still sort of like limited in terms of resolution, which is also sort of bound to the RAM requirements on the GPUs necessary for massive data sets. That's still a bit of a limitation, but obviously that will be remedied in the near future as well. So yeah, can't wait. As always with these challenges, it's garbage in, garbage out. So obviously finding the perfect data set for the GAN to work with is a challenge, but that's sort of true for all machine vision based AIs, or in general, every AI. But that's like a general challenge, not so much specific to synthetic media.
Timur, what advice would you like to share with people working on synthetic media?
There's a great YouTube channel that I like to recommend to people interested in the topic by Bax T. Future. It's called Multimodal AI. This is specifically interesting for the creatives among us. And he predicts sort of a Silicon Hollywood moment, similar to the Mickey Mouse moment, as he called it, like, 2D toon animation revolution. And he predicts that, end-time movies will be generated and synthesized by an AI. And this obviously will disrupt everything in the content creation realm, crew, talent, post-production, everything. So, look at his channel, and obviously there's heaps of other channels that look at, StyleGAN specifically, for example, is a great place to start. The DeepFace Lab stuff. There's a lot of stuff out there. And my advice really is like, go out, learn, explore, break things ASAP, because we are still in the infancy. So obviously, if you start learning this now, you have a massive unfair advantage to everyone else. Also knowing, the limitations, because I recently, when in the past I had to create concepts designed to budget. Right now, I always joke to say, let's design to technical limitation, because there are still major limitations, but there's also an amazing creative freedom there. If you know the limitations of the systems, then you can create amazing concepts that are really next level in many aspects. And the whole, I also right now predict a future where the content will be hyper-individualized, as I call it. Basically, where the content is addressing you by name. And this obviously will have major implications for marketing and every basically motion-based communication channel. So that will be extremely exciting.
Timur, where can we learn more about synthetic media and your work on the subject?
So because this is so new, and like I said, it's not really yet ready for prime time or for commercial applications. We haven't published anything, so it's still sort of like lab status. So I quite regularly post about this topic on LinkedIn. So, you know, feel free to add and follow me there. In general, I think it's great to follow a couple of YouTube channels that basically touch on that topic and you know, to stay up to date, because the tech is moving extremely fast. The whole deepfake lab has become real time. You know, something that my team and I talked about 6 months ago, and we thought, okay, maybe in 2-3 years, this will be real time. Now it's already real time. We look at this, you know, very intensely. Follow me on LinkedIn and stay updated there. That would be my recommendation.
Join us next week for a new episode by subscribing to the Synthetic Media Podcast. Check out my book about synthetic media on Amazon. Follow us on syntheticmediapodcast.com. This podcast was produced by Henrik de Gior. Music by Mattia Capelli. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. And thank you for listening.